One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Chicago, Illinois, coming to you via Route 66, y'all. I'll see y'all Saturday, October 12th at the Den. Get your tickets now on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pan Studios. I am Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all your social media, ryansickler.com. And I'm going to start this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you for supporting whatever it is I do, anything. I don't care what it is. If you're new here, if you've been here, thank you for your support. If I'm in your town when you're around, I'm headed back out on the road this fall. Tickets are on my website right now for all shows at ryansickler.com. And look, you know, I've got to promote the Patreon. I say it all the time. Been doing this Patreon for years. I've never raised it more than $5 a month. And it's this show with y'all. And I'm telling you, y'all have the craziest stories that I've ever heard in my life. It's better than any fucking Dateline or any of that shit. I promise you. $5, a cup of coffee, you're getting hundreds of episodes of your stories, all right? Which also brings me to any one of you out there that has a story that you think has to be heard, submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com, and hopefully we get to do an episode together. We get a lot of submissions, so if you already sent it, send it again, bump it up to the top, all right? Look, that's the biz now. You guys know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say that these are the stories behind the storytellers. Here on the Honeydew, first time, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Langston Kerman. Welcome to the Honeydew.
Hey, thank you. Wow, this is so nice.
Listen, first of all, I don't know you. No. You walk up outside, you're fucking sporting green. You look like you're, you know, you look good. I was right away. I was like, you look sharp.
It's my second best shirt. I feel good. Yeah.
Well, it's a little hot in here today, so I'm glad you didn't wear something heavy. This might be the first podcast I was telling Kirsten I've ever done in shorts. We got a heat wave going on.
Are you still like formal in that way where you're like, no, business, I wear pants. I don't know.
Well, if you want to be formal when you ask me, pants, yeah. Sweatpants.
Okay.
So
yeah,
you got more formal than shorts, but you know, that's all.
So. You're not classy as much as we're here.
I'm 51. And from here on out, after everything I've been through, my motto, it in my 4-year presidential campaign, it's the rest of my life, it's comfort and convenience.
Hell yeah.
That's all I want.
I like that.
I don't care about palatial mansions.
Come on.
I don't care about any of these I'm nothing. Just give me comfort and convenience and let's ride this out.
You got to do an ad for sweatpants. What are you?
I sell night pants, bro. We're Night Pants Nation out there. They know we got a whole line of night pants.
It felt like you already had it queued up. It was in your
comfort
head.
Comfort and convenience the rest of the way, man. Thank you again for being here. Before we get into whatever we're going to talk about, plug your special, plug all of it.
Yeah. Okay. It is out now. My special. You can watch it on Netflix. It is called Bad Poetry. I'm very proud of it. It was directed by John Mulaney. It's really cool. We shot it at the Green Mill in Chicago. So go watch that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Man, I'm jealous because when I'm looking to shoot, and I always said, I was like, God, the Green Mill. I went to Chicago years ago.
Yeah.
And I went to a place that wasn't too far. It's gone now. And it was called the Hi-Hat.
Yeah.
And the dude that owned it or cooked there also worked at the Green Mill.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about the Green Mill. No, nothing. Sure. He's like, we're going to do a little after hours over at the Green Mill. You're going to come with me. And I was like, let's fucking go. And we walk and he's like, this is Al Capone's old spot. I'm like, what? And then they told me, because you're from Chicago, which we'll get into, but you obviously know about that. Was it a Sunday afternoon show or it was a daytime show
the
they would
Saturday
do there?
Saturday show, yeah. Paper Machete. Is
sold out like forever.
It's called, they call it a live magazine, but it is, yeah, every week sold out, wall to wall, people standing.
And I got invited to do it
between the two stages.
And I couldn't change my ticket. And I still wish I could have done that show. You
go back, man. It's still wild. Happens. It's so fun.
But I go in and I'm like, you, and then you look at it from so many different, first of all, it's kept up so well. It's a beautiful, thank God. But you also see how you could easily get out if some shit, if cops came in front of them, like, okay, well, here's where we're leaving here. But it's got that vibe of the old, like, you know, that show stage. That
it's like an old jazz club, that night, cocktail
jazz
lounge
nightclub.
Energy.
It's so nice. Wow. All right,
it just has
you.
A very distinct look. And so it made for, I hope, a cool special.
And what's it called?
Bad Poetry.
Bad Poetry on Netflix now.
Yeah, exactly.
Langston Kerman. Go watch it.
Go watch it.
What else? Are you on the road or anything?
Yeah, I host my own podcast. It's called My Mama Told Me. I host it with my friend David Borey.
I saw that.
We talk about black conspiracy theories, and we're out on the road.
That your mom told you about?
My mom and other people's moms told us. And it's a toxic good time. Mm-hmm. We dig real deep into conspiracy, and we're going to be out on the road touring the podcast for the fall and the winter. So come see us on tour.
So we talked about it before. You're from Chicago originally.
That's right. Oak Park, Illinois.
Okay. It's, Oak Park, Illinois.
Yeah.
And tell me about your family, mom and dad, and how many siblings, or are you an only child?
I'm the oldest of five.
Five.
But I am 10 years older than the next in line and 23 years older than the youngest.
All right. So obviously that's a different parent. Is the 10-year a different parent?
Everybody's
a different parent.
None of us match. Okay. It's an impressive.
So some share mom, some share dad, or is everyone share dad? Everyone, you know?
Four of us share the same mom.
Okay.
But different. Only two of that set have the same dad in there. The next in line and the one after her both have the same dad. And mom, obviously. And then my brother, who is after them, is adopted by my dad and his third wife. And then my youngest sibling is
holy shit.
Is my,
I can't wait to get into
this
it.
This is exciting.
Because listen, this is what I'm thinking right now. How the fuck? You could actually say this sentence and it would make sense. You could say to your sister.
Yep.
About another sibling, like, our mom's tripping.
Yeah.
And it ain't her mom. It ain't her mom. But then she could say something like, hey, don't talk about our dad like that.
Yeah. That's fucking wild. Yeah.
Because we have a blended family. My daughter's brother is 11 years older.
Okay.
And his name is Derek.
Yeah.
And my brother's name is Derek. And it trips me out. I look at my daughter all the time like, how the fuck do we have a brother with the same name?
You it's got not, two Derek's.
Yeah, in our family. But my kid and I both have a brother named Derek. And it's not the same person.
Right.
Like it blows my mind when you start getting into this. So I'm excited to talk about this. All right.
So my youngest sibling is actually the product of the boyfriend in between my mom's second and third marriage.
All right, so let's start off with mom and dad first. Mom and dad,
yeah,
and you only first. Same mom and dad,
just me.
Okay, when do they split?
They split when I'm four.
Okay,
so I have no memory of it. I've been told I took it hard, but who? I don't fucking know. And so they split, and then my dad goes off and marries first.
How quickly do you know? I know you're only four, but do you know from the stories?
I think it was like 3 years, okay. Three or all four. Right. He was respectable.
That's respectful. I agree.
He wasn't.
That's not like 3 months later.
No. He was heartbroken. He was really piecing it together, I think, after that. And so he got married first to a lady who I've never gotten along with and continue to not get along with.
Is that
with.
Right?
Yeah.
No, why is she, when you say continue, why is she still around if that was his first? Did they have a child together?
Yeah, that's
so
my
brother. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
That's their kid.
That's why
but they also have been married now. Fuck, I was six, so almost 30 plus years.
So he only married once after?
After my mom, yeah. He but did. He had married before my mom.
Oh, he was before. Mom was two.
My mom was two.
Man, I'm trying. Okay, yeah, I got it.
Like, right. Me too.
But was there a sibling of you have from mom's or dad's number one?
No.
No.
No sibling came out of that.
Is dad mom's first one? Your dad?
I'm the first kid.
Okay. Mom didn't have a kid with anyone before dad. All right, got it.
I'm the first kid in the
No, you're the first child for your mom and dad.
That's right.
Second marriage for your dad.
That's right.
First marriage for my mom. He marries and he has a kid with that lady.
Yeah, they adopt a kid.
Adopt. Okay.
That is, he's 12 years younger than I am. And so my mom then remarries.
Now wait, real quick. Is that their only sibling?
Yeah, that's my only sibling from via my dad. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So dad only marries once more.
Yep.
Mom goes for number two.
She has two kids with number two.
Do you like number two?
Is
it okay that we're saying them numbers? Like, I don't want to be.
All right. How else can we rank them?
Their names. You can say their names. Joe.
I don't respect them enough to give them human names.
So wait, she marries number two.
Yeah, she marries number two.
Has two kids.
Two kids.
And how long are they together?
They are together, I want to say like 10 years.
Okay, so that's quite a bit of formidable years, right? Yeah. So when they split the first time, are you going back and forth? Are you with mom? Who are you with when your parents first split?
I got the 50-50 split.
Okay, that's what we have.
Which is cool. It makes for a weird, when you're a kid, it makes for a weird sort of like, number one, explanation with your peers, but it also, like, you're putting fucking underwear in your backpack to prepare for going to school the next day because you ain't got enough clothes at the other person's house. It ain't the easiest, but it is. It's nice to have two parents actively in your
life.
Loving
you and supporting you and caring about you.
I'm not going to complain about having both parents
present.
Some
underwear in your backpack.
Yeah, a little underwear in your backpack.
Whatever.
What's underwear between friends? I got underwear. I got like fucking
action figures. This is my daughter's life. I laugh. She didn't have to put underwear in, but I'm laughing about that. I'm going to tell her that. I'm like, Langston had to put underwear in his backpack. Yeah. You're lucky.
Like, don't look at here, baby girl. I got other things going on. But yeah, so I got the 50-50 split. And because my sisters, the next two in line, most of my adult life, their parents were together, which meant that like I was the only one that was really traveling between houses in the beginning. And then eventually my mom and their dad split. And then it became a weird thing of them also like at first traveling between houses. And then they did the thing where they chose their dad. And so it became like a weird rift in like our whole like family dynamic.
Now, before we get to that for a second.
Yeah.
You were always comfortable going back and forth. You never felt like you had to choose or you're never made to choose. You never, because everyone lived also close enough where dad's not moving out of state to Florida or something. No. And now you can't, you got to pick.
They were like 2 miles between each other. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So your dad did, and mom wanted to make sure they were both in your life.
Yeah. They stayed cool, which I think is something.
My next question is I know you don't like the stepmom.
Yeah.
Number one, only. Your stepmom.
Yeah.
How does your dad feel about stepdad?
My dad is like a real practical dude. You know what I mean? Where he's just like, are you hurt? Are you in danger? No. Then he's fine. Like, he's not forming an opinion based off of like character and like, oh, we got to spend time together to get to know each other. It's just like, I shake your hand and you seem like a fine man. I'm moving on with my life kind of thing.
Let's start with dad. What's the rift between you and stepmom? What was it that you?
She always resented the fact that my dad had kids or had a kid before she showed up. She couldn't have kids of her own. And so I think it just created this nasty sort of like.
So you were sort of not hated, maybe is the wrong word. Maybe
it was. I think it was. Okay. Yeah, I don't think
because you were something that your dad came with already.
Yeah, I was a burden that had already come that she didn't really want. And she sort of made that, you know, there are ways to play that cool. She could have been chill about that and kind of kept it quiet, but she was very vocal about it.
But it's like, interesting for any parent, but especially a mom who wants to be a mom.
Yeah.
To not like this kid, but give me my own and I'm going to love that one. That's wild.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to be like, wait, so you don't love all kids?
No.
You just love the one you're going to have.
Yeah, the one that's connected to you. That's it. Yeah, and it truly is. I was a kid. It wasn't like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I wasn't a 14-year-old with an attitude.
What is she doing to you? Is she yelling at you, disciplining you? Is she putting hands on you?
No hands. It's a lot of like manipulation. It's a lot of discipline via like there was a point in which she like was like locking me out the house type shit where like I'd show up because my mom would drop me off mm-hmm. from her house to go to my dad's house. And like I would ring the doorbell and we already have a beef between us. And she'd be like, say the magic words type shit. And
she knows you're out. It's not like she's in another room.
It's Chicago winter. You know what I mean? Like I'm outside cold. You're like, what's the magic words? I'm like, fuck you. And then she's like, well, now you can't come in the house. Well, now you'll just sit outside for hours on end kind of thing.
And that would happen?
Yeah. That's like the kind of energy that we were, you know, dealing in constantly. So it ain't, I'm not getting hit. I'm not being abused, but I'm being,
you know. But you're being treated like shit.
Taken advantage of by a old ass lady who should have known and behaved better. You know what I mean?
So then when they adopt, how old is your brother when they adopt him?
Brand new. Wet. Soaking
still
wet.
Smells like the other lady.
Brand new.
That's a little, funny way to describe a person.
Little string cheese neck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just yeah. All right. So brand new.
Yeah.
And where is he from? How old are you when they adopt? So how much?
I'm 12.
Oh, okay.
When they adopt. So I'm excited.
Yeah, you're fully able to understand what's going on.
Yeah, and he's my third sibling in 3 years. So like,
oh, they're just popping up for
everybody's
you.
Everybody's okay. Feeding me, and I was an only child up to that.
But
point.
Did mom adopt as well, or did mom have babies?
My mom just had
two
sisters right in a row. They're like a year, literally a year apart.
Damn.
So I have three siblings within a 3 year span, basically.
So I'm trying to do the math here. If you're 12, and so about first 9 years of your life, it's just you?
Just me.
And then in 3 years?
Just talking to walls. This is how insane I was going. I tricked my mom into buying me a bunk bed just because I wanted to feel like there was another person there.
Under your thumb.
Yeah, I was just like, can I have bunk beds? Because then... And I was like, yeah, because if somebody comes over, then they could sleep. And I never have, like, nobody was coming over my mom's house. But, like, truly, I was like, I got to feel something.
Did your
sisters
get the bunk beds?
No, I kept sleeping in the bunk beds. All right. They were too little.
So now dad and stepmom have a baby.
Yep.
Brand new baby.
Yeah.
Literally brand new, not 3 years old or anything.
No.
And do you have the type of relationship with your brother where you can talk to him about your mom and the shit that went on when you were younger? Or is that, do you not just avoid it?
No, I think, and that ultimately becomes sort of like the growing rift between me and my sibling, him specifically, is that like because of the bad relationship with me and his mother, she sort of continues to kind of feed that to him. So in the beginning, when he's a kid, like a legit baby and then a toddler and shit, we're very close because I'm spending tons of time with him and there's not a lot of manipulation that can sort of happen with a kid. They're babies. And then I think as he gets older, it becomes more and more. And to be fair, some of it may also be that I just am actively hating your mom. And so, you know what I mean?
Like, actively hating your
mom. I'm like,
mom.
Fuck this bitch.
Yeah. Man, fuck you, bitch. I love you, brother. Come here, man.
You're a good guy.
It's interesting,
her,
isn't
you're a good guy.
It, that you can yell, fuck you, bitch, to somebody else's mom, not yours, and then hug your own brother. And then,
like, this ain't got nothing to do with you.
You know, I love you, man.
I'm going to kill her, but
bitch.
I love you. You my man.
Oh, man, that is fucking confusing, though. It's got to be confusing dynamic growing up.
Yeah.
That's a lot of feelings going on and shit.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Jesus. That's just one side, too. That's just one side.
So then when my mom and her second husband split.
Wait, can I go back to second husband? Because he's the father of your two sisters.
Yeah.
So how long are they together? You said 10 years?
At least 10 years. It might be closer to 12.
What was your relationship like with him? How was he with you?
We were actually pretty close. I think their split got nasty in a way that like we weren't going to be able to maintain any version of a positive relationship. But while they were together, we were close. Like it felt like sort of a true stepdad in the way that you want it to be. We played ball. He, you know, taught me how to drive. Like we were cool and did well together. And then just the way that they split up and
it was ugly.
Yeah. My mom pepper sprayed his underwear.
She did.
I swear to God.
Did she catch him cheating or she just trying to fuck that? Yeah. You know, in all my life, I've never heard that. And I bet you it does work like a motherfucker.
She took his underwear drawer, pepper sprayed the whole thing.
The whole drawer, not just one of them?
No, every crotch of every underwear. And then closed it up. And I don't know what the results were, but I know she did it.
You don't need to see. Yeah, that happened. Wow, that's fucking wild.
And told me about it.
That's a good one.
I'm like, oh, cool, man. Yeah, that's what's up. I'm going to go do homework.
So are you still close with your sisters, though? You don't see him much?
I haven't seen him since they've split.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like truly it.
But what about your sisters?
My sisters chose to go with him.
That's what
and
you said.
And then... had it out with my mom in a way that kind of broke our relationship for a while. I think the youngest of the two of them, we've started to rebuild and gotten closer in the years since. I think some of it just required a maturing from all of us to be like, you know, it's not as much about picking sides as it is like, oh, we were just all in an unhealthy situation, you know what I mean? Like y'all were kids. I'm getting pneumonia on the fucking porch trying to get in my dad's house. I'm watching my mom pepper spray draws. I don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? And so I think we're starting to rebuild into like a relationship, but it took a long time before we were really ever able
that
to get close
take
again.
A long time.
Okay,
so then mom remarries. How long after?
Before mom remarries, she has another kid.
Okay.
So the
with
a boyfriend in between second and third husband.
Okay.
Right. So she has another kid who I'm very close to. That fortunately she, you know, 23 years, your life is so far from what mine is that like we just have maintained a really healthy, happy relationship without any of like the conflict, in part because she's 14. You know what I mean?
So like, say again for me, what's the longest distance between
23 years?
You're 23 years older than your youngest sibling.
Than the youngest sibling.
And how much older than the closest?
10.
So you got quite a gap either way. You got quite a gap. You don't even have anybody you could relate to growing up for a 3 year difference.
Nah, dude.
You're not hooping with anybody, nothing.
We don't look alike.
You're not playing sports or swimming or fighting or nothing.
No, I'm just an old man walking around these babies the whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Were you a babysitter? Did they use you to babysit?
Mm-hmm. My mom ran a daycare out of her basement and I was like semi-employed.
People make fun of me when I say I went to a daycare at a house. Like, you're such white trash. I'm like, look, that's what they did back in the day.
You have a yard.
You just had a yard.
What, you went to a real facility?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got a key card in? Hell no, I'm pulling up to Barbara's house.
Yeah, I'm going to a lady's house.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to daycare? At that lady's house.
Yeah, like I'm like, you got key, you got to bring your ID. I'm like, ID? I'm just like, that's my kid. That's how it was.
Yeah, I was like helping to watch my sisters and my brother went there too and went to my mom's house. And then, yeah, we were just all... We were very close, you know what I mean?
And then after the boyfriend, mom marries again. No kids this time?
No kids, but this is...
Does he have kids?
He already has kids, but...
I didn't even consider all the dudes with their kids possibly, and the mom... Well, the mom didn't have any kids.
But he's he's an alcoholic who is kind of detached from his previous children. Like he communicates, but it's not like active sort of relationship with his kids. So in that way, it's not like we're introducing new members to the family as much as it is like, oh, every once in a while, y'all are going to go over to his ex girl's house and hang out with her kid. But yeah, it's not a new person, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so it's a mess. But so, that boy, that husband,
yeah.
This is exciting. That husband is, and I'm not joking when I say this, is Benny the Bull. The Chicago mascot.
No.
Benny the Bull.
No. Still too. This
too, no.
When you meet him, he's the fucking
No. He's the most infamous Benny the Bull because he was fired from the job because he got caught selling weed after a game.
I don't even know this story.
1998 to 2004, he's Benny the Bull. And then
is he in your life at that point?
Nope.
No. Okay.
My mom marries him after the fame has left him.
The fame, yeah.
After all the success of being Benny the Bull,
he's there for Jordan and everything, though.
He's there for some big years. Yeah,
98.
He's there as Jordan's leaving.
He's in that last phase.
He's there for Tony Kukoc. You know what I mean? He's there for the rebuild that never was.
He's getting them, though.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then he gets fired.
So how did he get caught selling weed?
Because it just, he's in a fucking stadium.
He did it at the arena?
He's at the United Center.
Oh, he wasn't outside behind the building or anything. He's in the
– He gets caught.
They set him up.
They
set Benny up.
My understanding was that he was selling to a player – and I think it became one of those things where, like, all right, got it.
It's Pippin or Benny, man.
Yeah. what you want us to do, big dog? we're not taking down Bill Cartwright. You got to go, my man. You can't imagine what you would do to our organization if we chose you over this middling player.
I just, in my head, I see him in costume selling the weed too. You know what I mean?
100%. He's like, if I got the helmet on, they don't know who it is.
That wasn't me, man.
That wasn't me.
So I stole that outfit, man. is too much. Benny the Bull, he got fired, huh?
Yeah, he got
and
fired.
And then what's he do? What do you do after that?
So the reason he got that job is because...
I'm sorry, people are going to yell at me for interrupting, but real quick. Was he like a popular Chicago figure? Like, do people know who he was out of the suit?
So that's the thing.
Because of this, is this what brought him notoriety?
It's not that people know him out of the suit, but there are these guys in Chicago, these kids who are they're called the Jesse White Tumblers. They are a company that basically is recruited by Jesse White, who was the Secretary of State in Chicago, to be like tumblers who perform at various events.
Half times,
right. And then like local, events, car shows, whatever it is. They go and they do flips, all these black
kids.
Like
a little mini Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, and they're dope and they're awesome. He grew up inside of that organization.
I see.
And then was so good at it that he got tapped to go be the mascot. And
so he was sort of a known person. They were like, hey, why don't we have you come be Benny the Bull?
He was cool in those spaces, right? And so he kind of got this great job and it paid well, and then he fucked it all up. And so he just drinks himself, all the way to...
It fucked him up?
Yeah.
It did?
Yeah. No, this like ruined him kind of thing.
Why?
Because I don't... What do you do after that? You know what I mean?
let me ask you a question.
Yeah. What...
Even if you had a perfect run as Benny the Bull and your knees give out, what do you do after?
What's the next move? They're not going to let you, do color commentary.
I would talk to somebody from the Olympics and you'd be like, hey, you know how you spent 13 years of your life throwing a shot put and you took third and now you're done? What the fuck are you doing?
What do you do?
Life?
And that's the thing.
They're like, hold up, you were a mascot? Go fuck yourself.
Bro, at least those people like went to college and like have a degree to fall back on. Like he had, he didn't go back into
dancing or teaching or.
He was teaching tumbling for a while, but that doesn't pay well. And he was like fixing cars and he had other skills, but I think his drinking far outweighed those skills.
Did he start drinking after that or was he always drinking?
I think he was drinking before that, but I think it really like found itself once, you know, the sort of fall from grace happened.
Like you go to his house and there's like Betty the Bull.
Nah, you don't talk about
it. Be here 99 right here. Right here with Steve Kerr.
Yeah. It was bad, man. He really lost a lot.
Oh my God. Most Americans think they spend about $62 a month on subscriptions, but the real number is close to $300. That's a big difference. Even if just a couple of subscriptions fall off your radar, those recurring payments you don't even know about can really add up. Thanks to Rocket Money, there's no more losing money to subscriptions you've forgotten about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see one that I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. The dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget to keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/honeydew. That's rocketmoney.com/honeydew. rocketmoney.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's terrible. I'm sorry.
He's passed since, but
he passed away. Yeah, now I feel extra bad laughing.
Whatever. He was a good guy.
Was it from the drinking?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. How old was he?
40, late 40s.
Whoa.
Early 50s.
He was young.
Yeah, he was young. Yeah. When my mom married him, he had a tenth of a pancreas.
How do you tell somebody?
At one point, they literally told him, like, bro, if you keep doing this, that's it.
And he couldn't stop.
Like, there's no filter for this shit.
He drank himself to death, yeah, literally. Yeah,
literally.
Man, I don't know how I would tell a woman, like, if some lady said, I love you, I'd be like, I'll tell you something. You cheating on me, are you? No. You ain't going to believe it.
Honestly, it's worse.
I got to tell them.
You should hope I was cheating on you.
I might give you 2-3 years. Yeah. But he couldn't stop. Even when they told him, you don't even have.
At one point, this is 100% true. At one point, we had to have a breathalyzer on our family car.
The family car?
The family car. Because we only had one car. And he had gotten caught with like a DUI or whatever it was. And my mom voluntarily was like, we're putting a breathalyzer on the car so that you can't do this anymore. Like,
and would he work around that?
No, I mean, no. What's crazy is I was in.
Y'all ready for this? I got us, guys.
Don't worry. I'll burn this off and we'll be driving in 15.
I'm going to do a couple mini trail flip dumps and I'll be fucking sober in 5 minutes, guys.
Have you ever had to drive a car with a breathalyzer on it?
No, but it's funny you say that because a friend of mine did.
So here's
and he had one beer when he came to visit us, and he had his fucking kid with him, and the kid, he's like, it's one beer, but I can't risk, I can't do it. His kid blew it, it's like, it start the car.
Here's what's so crazy is they set it up in a way, because you think, oh, I just need to blow it to start the car, I'm good. They set it up in a way where it goes off periodically throughout the ride, and it can go off every minute, or it can go off every 15 minutes. It truly is up random shit, algorithm shit, right? So like,
and you do it while you're driving, or do you have to like pull over?
You have to, or the car will stop as you're driving.
Okay.
It'll truly like, and you got to pull over, whatever. So I'd be borrowing the car to take a girl out on the date.
Oh, no.
And like, have to explain it like, no, baby, I ain't sick. My mama's boyfriend is, so... Anyway, we're going to Benihana.
You remember Benihana?
You said you went to what college? Oh, that's a good school.
That's true, but that doesn't usually do it this much.
Three times in one ride. That's a record for me.
What a thing.
Truly.
Manny the Bull fucked up your family car. That's too much, man. Life is a trap.
Life is wild, man.
That's too much, man. You make me think of a story. So I'm a big Baltimore Oriole fan. Oh, I remember there was a story. This is not funny, but it's one of those.
I bet it's a little funny.
It's a little funny. But the guy was going to an event, and I believe the rumor is that he had the suit on, but not the head, and he was driving, and I guess he crashed. I don't know whose fault it was, but I guess there was an accident. And bro, he died in the bird suit.
Oh, that's no.
That's what we used to hear all the time. I don't know if it's true, but we used to hear it all the time. Like, it's true, like in a van or some shit.
Have you ever heard Kirstie Alley tell the story of how her parents died?
No, but I know it's a – I saw a clip of that, but I've never – I don't remember it.
So she says
– Oh, wait. I do know it. Go ahead. Costume party,
they're
right?
going to a costume party, and she finds out through her sister – her sister goes, they die on Halloween or the day before Halloween. They were going to a costume party. She asks her sister, what were they wearing? And she said they were in an odd couple's costume. And she said, odd couple with like Jack Lemmon and what's his name? And she's like, no, he was a Klansman and she was in blackface. And mom was in blackface.
Blackface would be terrible. Nobody want to help you or anything. Or I'm like, is she burnt already? Like, what's going on?
What the fuck happened on that side of the car? And what's he got going on?
And why is she not tied up? He's like, none of it makes sense.
It seems like they worked it out. This is cool.
Oh, man. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So then he passes away. Are you in
he
his
passed
life?
Away recently.
Yeah, oh, recently.
It's not it wasn't while they were married. This was recent. But that's her third husband. And then my mom moves to Ghana. She's been in Ghana for like 4 years.
That's where she is now?
That's where she is with my youngest sister. And she marries a Ghanaian dude out there who makes juice. And they
what kind of juice?
Just fruit juice.
Have you had it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Is it good?
She sent me some juice.
Is it worth moving to Ghana?
No.
It ain't Coca-Cola.
It ain't American juice, baby. It's
so what made her, how'd she meet this guy?
I think my mom has always felt a little over the American experience, like the rat race and sort of like the challenges of what it means to. My mom's a very educated person and like has a doctorate and like is a very capable person. But, you know, especially in education, there's a hierarchy and weird challenges of like getting tenure or even getting out of the adjunct space when you're talking about teaching colleges. And I think she just became sort of exhausted with that process and was like, I'm just going to go uplift my life and experience something that is completely outside of this. So she lives in a pretty remote area in Ghana. And like,
have you been to visit?
I haven't because she moved right before the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
And then I had kids. And so it's been like,
so she's not even met her grandkids.
She came back for the first time last year and got to meet my daughter. She hasn't met her grandson yet.
But I was about to say, how many grandkids does your mom have?
Just my, from you my two right kids. Now. Yeah, because I'm the oldest.
Oh, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. So you're the first time she's a grandma.
Yeah, the other ones are 26 and 27. So they're not even, you know, necessarily wanting to have kids yet. Yeah.
And your relationship, are you still close with dad and everything?
Yeah. We get along well.
But living out here, are you able to, is he come visit? Like how often do you see him?
He came pretty recently. He probably comes out every year now because of my kids, and we go back to Chicago and see him. And he's excited about being a grandfather, and his wife stays out the way. She knows.
I wanted to know if it shifted. You know, she didn't soften at all.
Nah, don't hug her.
Fuck him and his kids.
No,
She's just gonna keep on going.
Listen, I made it very clear with my wife and like even with my daughter, I don't like go like, yo, don't you stay away from her. But like she knows how I feel about her. So like don't go buddying up with my baby and my lady. Like leave them alone.
And does your wife like try to be professional? That's what I always call it, professional. You know, she's, how you doing?
She's good at being professional.
Yeah, that shit, you know.
Yeah, she pays her respects and does the whole thing, which I appreciate. It leaves the tension low for everybody else.
Now, we were talking outside. You say your wife from, if it's all right to say, she's from Baltimore.
Yeah, she's from Baltimore.
Does she have a big family or a big extended family or any of that?
She's pretty small. It's just her and her sister. And her mom only had a sister who didn't have kids. So they have no first cousins.
It's so your family's a big ass success. It's like going, being you at 9 and then 3 years later, you got fucking 80 people in your family.
Yeah, they're tiny. And then suddenly they got to deal large. With my chaos. Yeah, 100%.
And is she good with it? Does she like it? I always wonder what people, if, you know, everybody thinks the grass is greener. Like if you're an only child, I always wonder if people really relish it and love it or if they always wanted to have. Because even you said you were an only child up until about 9, right?
Yeah.
And you weren't against having siblings.
No, I always wanted them. It just didn't seem possible.
Would you have been if they adopted like an 8-year-old?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You'd have still been cool?
Yeah. No, that would have been cool.
Because everybody to you was brand new.
I honestly would have maybe taken to it even more because if they adopt an 8-year-old, now I got somebody I can really vibe with in theory. Maybe they're, you know, an 8-year-old that came with tons of baggage. But like to me, it would have been like, oh, I got like a homie now. This is great. I'm not just childcare for these smaller people. Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Dude, you got a wild life, man. I want to stop there now because I feel like I've also dissected your life like it's a math problem so I could understand it. Because I definitely want to hear about this college story.
Yeah.
So you went to the University of Michigan.
Went to the University of Michigan.
You're a Wolverine.
Freshman year, yeah.
What years were you there?
I was there 2005 to 2009.
Did you guys win anything during those
years? No, we sucked.
Even in basketball too?
We, right at the tail end of my time at Michigan, started to like make it back in the tournament and show. Okay. You know what I mean? But we were still in the probation for most of the time that I was there because of the fucking, you know, the Fab Five shit. So we just stunk, and like Michigan football was on a real bad downturn. The year that they lost to whatchamacallit, that I can't even remember the name of the college is how shitty they were. But it, like, it was that crazy upset that happened.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
It all happened while I was there. I'm responsible for it, I think.
So your freshman year, what happens to you?
The freshman year, the day that we're moving out of the dorms, I'm taking a shower in the communal shower. And for months, I'm genuinely, I'd been noticing that this dude had been like, who lived on the fifth floor. I live on the third.
Is it an all male dorm or co-ed?
They split it by sides.
Gotcha.
So like there's a man's side and a girl's side, and it's just halls basically. So in the male hall of the third floor, there's a dude who keeps coming down from the fifth floor to shower down there. Right. every day he showers on the third floor. Now, there are arguments that it was a better shower or whatever the fuck. But either way, this dude just keeps hanging around. And periodically, I would see weird shit where it's like, oh, his hands are on the top of the, you know, the shower wall.
Like when you're to your
left.
Yeah,
you look up and there's just hands there or some shit. And in your mind, you don't want to, you're naked. You don't want to fight. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're like, he probably just.
I'm like, are they like, is he like, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's just stretching out so he can scrub or, you know what I mean? Like I'm creating explanations periodically to justify.
And are these shower stalls the kind where you could see his feet at the bottom or they go all the way to the floor?
You can see feet.
So there's space under and you can reach over like a bathroom stall.
Exactly. Like a bathroom stall. It's feet and hand and air above. Yeah, so you can kind of see enough, but it's pretty high. So you would have to do some work to be able to like
reach up like that.
Yeah. To see something, but I'm seeing this weird shit and I'm experiencing this weird energy around this one individual. And then literally the last day that I'm packing up, my dad is on his way to pick me up from my freshman year of college. I am showering and I hear him come in. I'm going to shower and I hear him come in. And I'm like, bro, I got a bad feeling. I don't know what this is about to be, but something weird. It's just he and I in here. This don't feel right. I'm going to chill for a second. I'm going to turn the shower on. I'm going to wait to see what.
In the stall? Are you hiding in the stall?
Okay. You know how they have like that curtain and then you have the changing area and then there's like the actual like shower. I'm chilling in there, but I turn the water on to give the illusion that I'm in there showering. And then I see a shadow come underneath the curtain where I am of some, and I can hear breathing. I'm like literally feeling a person on the other side of this curtain. And then I rip it back and I go, what the fuck? And he's standing there and he goes, oh, were you in there? And then he walks away.
Were you in there? Was he naked?
No. But he was fully dressed.
He's not there to shower at all.
He's not there to shower at all.
Were you in there? And he walks away.
And so he.
And you're coming out fully dressed.
I'm coming out fully dressed because I've been waiting on this shit.
Do you chase him out?
No, I go, fuck you. And, you know, I walk out and I'm like scared and furious and not sure what to do. And I truly was like, you know what? You got to do the right thing. You got to tell somebody. Everybody.
They say if you see something, say something.
I was like, I'm going to follow every protocol. I'm going to bring justice to this injustice. This is going to be resolved quickly.
Quickly is my favorite of all the things you said.
And so effectively.
Swiftly and effectively.
There's no way that this will stand. And I go to my RA. And I tell him, and in retrospect, he's a child. So he goes, oh, that's crazy, bro. I don't know. That you got to fill this sheet out. And then I'm filling paperwork out and shit. And then I have to, over a course of months, have to like engage with now like the staff. Like there's like, you know, essentially a HR department of a university that I'm engaging with who are dealing with this claim that I, you know, am dealing with what potentially could have been a sexual harassment. I would qualify it as such. Right. Then they call me in during the summer for a hearing. They say like, yo, We've done our due diligence. We've allowed our team to do investigations.
Whatever. So they contacted this guy?
They contact this guy. They call me in for a hearing. I wear my best shirt. I put on my good slacks. I show up to the university to have this hearing. And I show up and this motherfucker has.
He's there.
He's there. Not only does he claim that he was never there. And to interact with me at all, that like I'm making this story completely up. He shows up with his quote unquote girlfriend who he says they were having sex at the time of when I claimed that that he looked in on me. He says he's having sex. It's not possible that this happened. He also has character references from people I knew in the dorm who are like vouching for his character. They never asked me, did I need like, character references for my shit, but he truly has like a full fucking case that he's built of why this is not possible. And I sit there and explain the story to adults, some of whom are just staff. They're not like lawyers or professionals, they're like janitors and shit. And I'm like explaining it, and then at the end of it they go, yeah, we're not gonna do anything about this, that's good luck. And then I just gotta keep going to school with the dude.
And do you run into him? Do you
all see the time?
No.
Yeah.
Does he say anything to you ever?
No. Never once again. But he like moved out of that dorm, but by his own volition. It wasn't even like they were like, oh, you gotta move. They were just like, nah, we're not buying it. This ain't real.
Wow.
I was like, oh, well, I'm never going to tell anybody anything ever again.
Dude. Yeah. Tell me about Amsterdam.
My wife and I, along with like 10 of our friends, go to Amsterdam. This must have been 2017, 2018. We all take this massive trip to Amsterdam thinking like it's like a bunch of black people hanging out in Amsterdam. We're going to get high, drunk, fucked up, whatever. We show up. We got this really nice Airbnb. We're staying at the Airbnb. Everybody all in one place. Two of the people show up later than everybody else. They get a separate car because their plane gets in later than everybody else. But everybody's in the same place. It's just one of those houses that can fit everybody, right? We go out. We're drinking. We're partying. We're smoking. We're doing the whole shit. We come back that night and we immediately walk in, and one of the girls is like, somebody broke in here. We're like, what are you talking about? No, bitch, you drunk. What are you talking about? Ain't nobody's been in here. This is a nice place. This is Amsterdam. And she's like, no, somebody's been going through my stuff. And we look, and the glass in the back of the house has been broken into. There's like all this glass and broken shit everywhere. They've ruffled through everybody's things, stolen passports, stolen birth control, stolen laptops, cameras, like all this
birth
shit.
Control.
Really wild choices.
That's a fucked up one to do to somebody. It is like passports enough, man. You got Come my on, identity, man.
Yeah, you don't need my medicines.
Why did my you breath say? Control's gone. That's too much. Somebody had to say that.
Somebody
out.
Stole my Lipitor. This is crazy.
Oh shit.
But they steal all this shit. The house that we're staying in is attached to the Airbnb house, like the owner's house. That like it's one of those houses that like just is sort of kitty cornered with mm-hmm. the other house that isn't touched at all. So we naturally are going, hey, what the fuck? Why did they break in our shit and not break in your shit? And then it's all these Dutch people who are going like, we don't know. And we're like, we think y'all did it. We think y'all were in on this shit. And then they go, well, we think you should leave. And then we go, we were going to leave. This is our shit got stolen. You know what I mean? Like, we're not hanging out here anymore. And so it becomes this weird all night thing of like arguing with the Dutch police, who truly are like, that's not even what we do over here, is like investigate.
Is that right?
Yeah, they don't care.
Like it's so few and far between, or it's just happened so much, like now we go after real shit?
I think it's because it's so rare.
Stolen passports is a pretty big one, though.
But I think for them, it's like nobody was hurt.
Oh, I see.
There's no evidence of what you're suggesting might be the case. And so it becomes this weird thing of the police being like, well, maybe you guys did this. Maybe you're the reason that you got robbed.
It sounds like the fucking college board over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they do.
I've been gaslit my whole life. First Benny. It truly becomes like this chaotic trip of like then, because this is first night and we're supposed to be in Amsterdam for like 10 days.
Yeah, now your time is going to be spent trying to get your passports and shit back.
We're going to the embassy to try to get new temporary passports. We're throwing up in the fucking lines and shit because we've been drinking that heavily up until we thought we were, you know, we were having a good time.
Were you able to get all that shit back? Like, what happens?
Yeah,
when you go to the embassy, what happens?
You go to the embassy and they give you temporary passports so that you can get back to the States. And then once you get back to the States, you can, you know, replace all your
Do they kill the active one, so to speak, so that that person's not out there running around as you?
I think,
taking the picture and modifying it, and now they're you?
My guess is they can only do so much. Like, part of what you're doing when you're taking these documents is just being able to, like, copy the key art, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be able to make your own shit, more than just being like cut and paste his face over my face. Now I'm him,
yeah,
kind of thing. But yeah, it just turned into like this chaotic thing of like having to explain to people we just got robbed and, you know what I mean? Or burglarized and now we got nothing. You know what I mean?
This is a really fucking fun episode, man.
Hell yeah,
thank you for
dude.
Doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Before we go, and I am interested to hear what you have to say now after hearing your story, advice you'd give to 16-year-old Langston.
Oh, man. That's a great... I think advice that I would give 16-year-old Langston is that a bunch of this stuff is funnier than you think it is.
That's great.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I do.
Like, I think when I was 16, I was like, this sucks. My life is crazy. This is hard. And it's like, nah, this is funny, man. And if you could really just write a few of these things down and maybe in a sillier way than you're planning to write them down, you might have some fun with this shit down the line.
I think that's great advice. I still have friends that I'm close with from elementary school, from middle school, and we all went through some ugly shit.
Yeah.
But we were all together. And we look back at it now, we're like, can you imagine that those were the days were like, this sucks. And we're now we're like, those were the good fucking days.
Yeah.
Those were the good ones.
Yeah. You were having fun.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Everything else was hard, but you were having a good time.
Well, thank you again for doing this. Promote your special, all that stuff again, please.
On Netflix. It's called Bad Poetry, directed by John Mulaney. It's a beautiful special, and I hope you watch it. It's cool.
Great.
And oh, and my mama told me it's a podcast I run with David Bory. Very funny. If you like conspiracy theories and black people, it's a perfect combination.
Wait, here's what I want to ask. What's the closest you yourself have come to a conspiracy theory that somebody's mama told them that you're like, that one might be real?
Oh.
Is there any that has surprised you where you're like, wait, man, that one actually might be a real thing?
Yeah, so part of what I do on the podcast is I do all the research. So
you're breaking them all down.
I break them all down. And one of my favorites that's come up is a person named Chandra Russell, who's a very funny comedian, very talented actress, came on and she was talking about 23andMe and how like 23andMe is just the government sort of like taking your identity, your DNA, and sort of using it against you. And naturally that's come up a million times in every conspiracy podcast. But what we discovered is kind of more sinister than even just them being like, we got your blood now. They literally can deny you home loans because of your genetic history, right? That like your family history, let's say.
So if cancer runs in your family and they think you're not going
to
be
you're
around
not
to
make
pay
it
that loan
to 55.
Off, they're going to say no because they can see that it runs in your family. Or
30 years, we're not betting on you making it 30 more years. So no, we can deny you a home
life
loan.
Life insurance.
We can deny you life insurance.
Damn.
All because of the DNA that you're feeding to find out if you're like, you know, British or some shit.
Yeah, what percent Italian I am.
Yeah. It's like, I don't think this is worth it.
Oh, man, I don't want to hear any words.
Yeah.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Come see me on tour. Tickets to all shows, they're up on my website right now at ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.